Juno Afternoon is made possible with support from Sentinel Coffee, serving Southeast with locally roasted organic coffee and door-to-door delivery. More at sentinelcoffee.com. Our first guest is here to preview his Wednesday talk at the Walter Soboloff Building about attorney, legislator, and political activist William Paul Sr. Dr. Dennis Demmert, thank you so much for coming on Juno Afternoon.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation.
It's an honor to have you. So this is the Native American Lecture Series that's happening at the Walter Soboloff Building, and these lectures are free. They're at noon, and tomorrow you'll be presenting. The title I see is Remembering William L. Paul Sr., the Father of Land Claims and Others. And again, that's tomorrow at noon. Can you tell us a little bit about your history with William Paul Sr.?
Yes, actually, I heard about William Paul first when I was a child, growing up in grade school, living in Craig. There was no A&B Hall there. There were meetings in there in my parents' home. And a small enough house so that I was around the meetings and heard them talking and heard names like Harold Ickes, who was Secretary of the Interior at the time, I think James Curry, William Paul in particular. A lot was said about William. And by the way, as I recall, they're both pro and con. There are people who had great respect for him, but there are others that were a little concerned that he might be going too far too fast. But I didn't know of him, and then heard him speak when I went to high school at Sheldon Jackson, which is a Presbyterian mission school. We didn't have high schools in the villages then. And finally met him at my first A&B convention in Clockwan in 1961. And at that time, William and those of his generation were really very generous about mentoring younger members, and I was in that category. And I recall speaking on issues and having William come over and talk with me, and actually he was very gentle in showing me my oversights. I didn't know as much as I thought I did. But William was very good as a mentor. And also William Paul wrote a lot of letters to a lot of people. And in the coming years, I would get handwritten letters from William Paul, usually about A&B issues. But we became pretty good friends. And by the way, he also knew my wife when she was director of the State Museum, Jane Wallen at the time. And when she and I married, William and Jane, we became very good friends with William. And when we went to graduate school on the East Coast, we would stop and visit him in Seattle. And when I became director of Native Studies at University of Alaska Fairbanks, he would visit us, stay with us, speak to my classes. So we got to be good friends.
Okay.
I learned some by knowing him, but also I learned a lot. A lot has been written about him, and I learned more by reading as well.
Okay. And I haven't properly introduced you yet as well. You know, you mentioned being the director of Native Studies at University of Alaska Fairbanks.
Yes.
Former president of Sea Alaska Heritage.
When it was a foundation.
When it was the foundation, yeah, among other things. So, yeah. Again, What else would you add to your introduction?
Well, after the Sea Alaska Heritage Foundation, I spent about 6 years at Sheldon Jackson College. They were having some problems with their Native Studies program, and the federal government said they had to get someone who knew Native Studies. There aren't many people around that were in Native Studies, and I was retired at the time, so okay. Spent 6 years there. And I guess that was largely my preparation. I also spent time on I was born in Kolwak and returned there after retirement and served on the tribal council there for several years. But I'm retired in Ketchikan now.
Okay. If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Dr. Dennis Demmert. He will be speaking tomorrow at noon at the Walter Soboloff Building, and he's going to be talking about remembering William Paul Sr., the father of land claims and others. Again, that's noon tomorrow at the Walter Soboloff Building at noon, free and open to the public. Can you give us a few of the highlights from his life? What are the few things you're going to share tomorrow?
Well, William was, he spent many years with the Alaska Native Brotherhood. He first joined in 1920. The organization was founded in 1912. And he was born in 1885. He had a French grandmother on his mother's side and on the paternal side, yes, Scott grandfather. He had a lot of exposure to Western society, if you will, and his mother also was an exceptional person. She taught at the Sitka Training School. So he had a lot of intellectual challenge very early on, he and his two brothers. His younger brother was an attorney, as he was. He was a student at the well-known Carlisle Industrial Indian School in Pennsylvania, studied business college in Philadelphia, and got a college degree at Whitworth College. Whitworth was in Tacoma at the time. And, in one of the papers that I read, they had a football team there, and he was a quarterback. there's quite a story about him winning a big game there. But after joining the ANB, he was, the same year that he was elected grand secretary. His brother was elected grand president. And thereafter, his life work was pretty well intertwined with the ANB. And at the time that the ANB was founded, they were concerned about, citizenship for one thing. When Alaska was brought into the United States, Native people were not accorded citizenship and didn't have the rights of citizenship. A lot of stories about that, and that was a real concern. Also, by that time, there were schools for Native children and non-Native children. They're segregated, and they wanted desegregation. It was surprising how sophisticated the people were at that time on what their needs were, and they wanted desegregated schools. They also wanted land rights. And there was something else that there were. Citizenship, schools. By that time, fish traps were really working. And for decades, the operation of fish traps was just a controversial issue in Alaska. And so those were things that the ANB was working toward. In William's first convention, we have the minutes of that 1920 meeting, and those were the four issues they were talking about then. I mean, they'd come up earlier, but they wrote resolutions in the there was a delegate to the U.S. House of Representatives from Alaska, non-voting delegate. but they sent him the resolutions. And by the way, one of their resolutions wanted self-government for Alaska long before the statehood movement started. The ANB was asking for self-government for the territory of Alaska.
He did a lot of work in his 91 years.
Yes, he did.
And, earlier you mentioned that he was a mentor to you and to others. What's one of the best lessons that you learned from him?
Well, in the title of this, there were "and others." Actually, the "and others" were placed elsewhere. I think now of lessons that I had learned from several of the elders. I'd like to mention that several of them were mentors, and they taught me very important lessons. And I still carry some of those lessons from Andrew Hope, John Hope, William Paul, Roy Pradovich. One of the things William Paul taught me was I really need to learn something about how meetings operated. In my first meeting, I was very frustrated at how things were going, and I didn't understand the framework. And so that first winter, at that time, Native people weren't getting many jobs outside of fishing. And so we had 3 months of work and 9 months of whatever we wanted to do. So that winter, I spent literally hundreds of hours studying Robert's Rules of Order, pretty much at the direction of William. And over time, learned that. That became a useful tool for me later on. I was able to serve as a parliamentarian for several of the regional corporations over a period of about 35 years. That was mainly from William.
Okay.
But I can think of other stories that are probably too long to tell here, but lessons that I learned from those elders. I mean, they were very generous with their time. And as I said, also very gentle. I didn't realize how little I knew at the time. They gave me a lot of lessons. At that time, I'd had 2 years in the Army, 3 years in college, and I knew I had a lot more education than a lot of those that were in charge, and I thought I could help out a lot. And boy, did I have that backwards. They really taught me a lot in those years.
Okay. If you're just tuning in, that's the voice of Dr. Dennis Demmert. He will be presenting tomorrow at the Walter Soboloff Building at noon. It's free. The title of his talk is Remembering William L. Paul Sr., the Father of Land Claims and Others. Again, that's free and open to the public Wednesday as part of the Native American Lecture Series. Dr. Demmert, it's been an honor having you on the show today. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you. Cut up ye his, ne tu sa ne, ne tu sa ne.